so it starts. The saga begins, niggas. The saga begins, niggas. I'd like to welcome you to a collection of thoughts, observations, and concepts. They say that art imitates life.
And welcome back to the Brook Blurt Pod TV. I'm your host, Anthony K. Savage, a.k.a. Voice, a.k.a. Savage Voice, and this is Savage Reviews. How you doing, everybody? We're going to be doing things a little bit differently here. I managed to rig up a little setup where I am going to be able to watch. We're going to watch today, actually. If you saw the title, you know what this is. We're going to be reviewing, watching live, at least for me, Crisis on Infinite Earth series as it's going on. So first thing we're gonna do, we're gonna get it all set up, and I'm gonna do this one first, and then gonna go into some other ones. Probably gonna release most of these all at once, if depending on how much I do tonight. We're going to see. Here we go, Crisis on Infinite Earths. So we're going to do Crisis on Infinite Earths. You can get the CW app, and you can check it out with me. We're going to start on part one. It's going to be... It's a lot. So... 3, 2... Okay. Crisis on Infinite Earths, part one, episode 509, aired on... 12-8-2019. The Monitor sends Harbinger to gather the world's greatest heroes in preparation for the impending crisis. Push and play. And it's going to start. Okay. Now, I wanted to do this, and the thing that kept me from doing it this specifically was making sure the audio didn't come through, because I didn't want to have to try to read subtitles, because it's just me, unfortunately. Normally, the Savage Reviews I do with my friend Pontus Seagod, he's, you know, life happens and he's busy, he's got school and stuff. So I'm going to do these reviews because I have a passion for it, so I think I can do it good. So, okay, it's going to start. John Jones speaking of the beginning. Now, the thing about this series is it predates on a DC comic book, obviously. And the reason for this was... the reason to have the crisis was because there were so many different multiverses, so many different Earths, and things got a little bit convoluted. So they needed a way to fix it, and they came up with the crisis. I believe the artist is Marv Wolfman, writer Marv Wolfman, artist George Perez drew the original series. Now, what makes this particular incarnation so awesome is there's no crossover this size ever. For just these shows on the One Network, that's one. Two, they brought in past DC shows for this crossover. It's never been this magnitude, in my opinion, are doing it better than the movies. So they show 88 Gotham, which is the Michael Keaton Batman universe. And then now they're going to Earth 9, which is the Teen Titans universe, the current Teen Titans on the DC app. Earth X, which was from about... two crossovers again. Ray, like Sun Powers. Then they have Earth 66, where Batman 66 takes place with Burt Ward, Robin. And this is the Crisis on Infinite Earths. Earth 38, Central City, which, let's see, it is Supergirl's Earth. Now, at the time that you were hearing this, well, we'll just go through it from the beginning. Don't want to give any spoilers. If you're watching this, then you know, and if you don't, well, we'll get to it. So it opens up, Supergirl saving the dude, and it's this big dragon, which if you watch the show, the dragon character is actually a pet, so named Spike, so she's not going to kill it or anything like that. Now, myself, I like Supergirl. A lot of people have issues. It does get a fairly preachy, however, comics have been doing that for years, so it is what it is. Still pretty decent when it comes to a lot of aspects, especially after everything that's going to happen from what I've seen thus far. So, earthquakes and everything's happening because of the crisis is starting. Now, before the crisis, through the whole season of Arrow, Oliver Queen had been working to stop the crisis with the Monitor. So, at the point of this show, things have started to happen. They're about at least 2 to 3 weeks in, if you go by how the premieres of the Arrow series were, this being its last season. Sitting around. You have John Johns, Brainiac 5, I believe it is. Supergirl, Supergirl's sister, Alex Danvers, who is head of the DEO, which in that universe is in charge of monitoring alien and extraterrestrial threats. Basically, that world's shield. Or sword, or whatever. Now, they're seeing Argo City is in danger, where Supergirl's mom is, as well as Superman Lois Lane, where they went so that she could give birth to her baby safely. And now Superman is changing his son's diaper. Now here's the, he's going to have his own series coming soon, probably next season, to the CW. And I'm hoping they somewhat follow the more recent DC Rebirth story arc, where DC went through this whole change, where they kind of took the DC universe we knew and kind of threw it out, and then had the new 52 and changed all the characters around. But there was another crossover series, and they managed to bring the superhero Superman we all know, basically, the Golden Age Superman, I guess we considered, who had a child, back to our universe, and that's now the current Superman, and his son, Jonathan Kent Superman, or Superboy. It's an awesome story, so hopefully they go that route going to the future. So we're back to the story. The Argo is, it's going through earthquakes and everything, massive energy moving through space, killing everything in its path. Supergirl sent a hologram or whatever to try to warn them. And they're about to pull a Superman, I believe. And they're about to put, Superman's about to put his son in the shuttle for safety, a la Superman. Now, the thing with Crisis is, which you have to understand, is though moving forward, obviously, a lot of these characters will have their own shows and everything. At the time this initially came out, both comics and this show, no one knew. I think with Crisis, you never know what's going to happen on the other side of Crisis. And we still don't know what's going to happen. As you will find out later, which I will save an aspect of what happens with Superman for that time and tell you these are still a lot to be answered, regardless of how much I may be sharing with you now. So Argo has been destroyed, and all they can do is watch in the DO, and Supergirl is pretty much heartbroken because that's her whole family. At this point in her mind, she is the last Kryptonian. She's the last person in her family other than her sister, her adopted sister, Alex Danvers, and things just seem incredibly hopeless. Now, another reason I didn't do the Flash, the newest episode of the Flash, is because, thankfully, I've seen the episode, so I can talk to him. I don't mind talking to him, but I don't want to leave too much dead air. But I will, we'll see how this goes. If it goes how I think it hopefully will go, I will be doing a lot more of these because, basically watching TV and talking over it, which I can do. Now, these are all commercials. Unfortunately, I can't skip through them. so I just talk through them and fill in the time. Or I'll just shut my mouth when those times come and just cut it out. I've done enough of these. I can edit stuff out. And haven't had too many podcasts. Actually, tomorrow, me and Mr. Roland will be doing a podcast, for those of you who care. But when you hear this, it will have already been done, so it doesn't matter, and you probably already listened to the episode, so good on you. A lot of things coming. Those who are listening, please go onto our YouTube channel, the Broke Blurt Pod TV. New videos weekly. I'm trying to put up 2 a week. Follow or just subscribe. You can also check us out or check me out at we stream live. I stream video games. We also stream the podcast live at twitch.tv/savagevoice. And there you can interact with me and be a part of the show. All right, so they're back. Oliver Queen and his daughter. Which I can't think of her name right now. Which they will say when they do it. I'll let you know. But he's the Green Arrow, and she is the future Green Arrow. She, in present day of his life, is a baby. As far as her future, he died, and she never knew him. And then eventually, she was brought from the future to the present. And, you know, he's kind of getting his last chance to be with her trainer, get to spend time with her that he neither of them would have gotten to have. He made a deal with the Monitor to sacrifice himself to save Barry, which is the Flash, and Supergirl in a previous Crisis slasher. He did, but there's more to it than that, and now he's continuing the role to try to save everything. In comes Harbinger, which is Lila. I want to say Chaney, but I don't know if that's right. But she's Diggle's wife. She runs Argus, which is their, like, military thing, but right now she's working for the Monitor, and she's picking up the Flash. just picked up Arrow. And Barry already knew about the crisis because he's supposed to disappear in the crisis. So he's been preparing for this on his episode, on his show thus far in the season as well. So now they're on Earth 1, Gotham City, where we have Batgirl, which... I'm horrible for not knowing the character's name. I'm not necessarily a Batwoman fan. I call her Batgirl. It's not Batgirl. This is Batwoman. Which I haven't much watched the show, but I like that the character is, you know, the bigger the universe, the bigger the shows, you know, whole point of comics is supposed to be something for everybody. You don't have to like all the shows, just this person can like this person, that, you know. I really wish I could remember her name, though. Harbinger shows up to pick up Batwoman. And, of course, she doesn't want to go. But she's never been in a crossover, so she doesn't know what's supposed to be going on. So they're in Earth 1, Star City. And they're picking up the Legends. This would be Sarah Lance, the captain of the of Gideon, the ship for Legends of Tomorrow. And Ray Palmer, the Atom. Two of the original Legends of Tomorrow. Now, there was just a joke, which I'm thinking about it, and canon wise, I think Ray, they're at a trivia night. And she answers it wrong because the Janis Joplin song was changed. Because in Legends, they basically fix history. And apparently, in one of the episodes, possibly, Ray Palmer was shrunk down on... Oh, awesome moment. Harbinger flashes in. And the the DEO, Supergirl's world, and you know the guns are pulled out and everything, and they've never really dealt with Lila to know specifically. And then they bring in all the other superheroes, Superman, Batwoman, who just hit Harbinger. which calms down, but I suppose, you know, they see all these people and they calm down. But Supergirl basically, vouches for everybody that is in the room. Batgirl takes off her helmet, revealing Kate Kennedy, her name. Kate Kennedy, there you go. Mia, there you go. Oliver's daughter is Mia Queen. So Lila explains there's a wave of antimatter destroying everything in this path. Oliver vouches for how deadly everything is and why they need to listen to her. And she's basically explaining it's going to destroy the multiverse. So Oliver points out, need a bigger team. So we're going to check on Barry. Harbinger just left. So now we just have the heroes minus Harbinger. So right now they're just pointing out they still need to find Superman's son, Jonathan. Which, as a parent, yeah, end of the world, you still, that's your first. And he's still, he's a, like, newborn. Or as close to newborns are on TV shows and movies. So a giant tower appears in Supergirl's world, and they're gonna, they're thinking they should stop it, and then the Flash, Harbinger, Adam, and Sarah Lance will appear and basically say, tower, we need the tower, don't fuck with the tower. Tower's good, okay? It's the best tower. No towers are better than this tower. This tower's gonna save the world. So that's happening. So this part I will probably cut out a bit. So we're gonna pause. Alright, so we're not back yet, but I just want to let you guys know I got a lot of stuff planning to bring to you. We're gonna do some more reviews. I got reviews Concrete Comets. I believe it's how you pronounce it, and how you spell it. There, we're going to be working with them. We're going to do a review of their some of their books soon. When I don't have too much time. The fact that I'm doing this, I'm trying to get it out, trying to make sure you guys have something. But I'm really trying to. I've been away. It's been a while, and I've been gone. And I apologize. You guys are the ones who brought me to the dance. I have not forgotten about you. I have not given up on you. I've wanted to bring something quality to you, and I haven't wanted to skimp on that. Hopefully, this lives up to the quality that I'm trying to bring to you. As we come back, Harbinger is explaining the Monitor put the towers to protect the Earth against the anti-Monitor wave. Bunch of science, TV science talk, comic book science talk. Now, here they play up the fact that Kate Kennedy, Batgirl, is a lesbian, which it's part of the character. Though Ray, obviously, is the most non-threatening person to... He wasn't trying anything. He was literally talking about her uniform, which I believe comes back later in the episode as far as upgrading it. So, Brainiac 5 has found Brainiac 5 has located Superman's son, which is in a different time and possibly a different universe. Superman's like, I'm gonna go. Arrow basically says, you can't. Superman's like, yeah, can't. It's not something I don't do. It's my kid. And he kind of like, as Superman, still being Superman that we all love, not necessarily the movie that people don't like, Man of Steel, but kind of the nice and, you know, righteous Superman. And he's kind of like, you're not going to stop me, without saying it that way. He said as nice way as possible without saying, I will fuck you up. And Arrow's like, I'm a dad. I know. This is, it really is more important. And Lois decides that she's going to go and, you know, calms him down. So, but I do like how they did that part. Just because, as a father, you know, you're not going to think rationally when it comes to your kids. Even if it's the world's in danger, your kid is where your focus is going to be first. So, Martian Manhunter, John Jones, wants to evacuate as many people as he can. So Brainiac 5 gives him his spaceship. He is from the future as well. He is a member of the Legion of Superheroes. Now, Alex Danvers is also a scientist as well as the leader of the DEO, trained by John Jones, who used to be the leader of the DEO. And they're trying to figure out how to get the people out, because even if they put them on a spaceship, all of reality is disappearing, so how do they save the people on the ship? So they're going to go to Lena Luthor, who's not necessarily a bad guy, but not necessarily a good guy. Her reasons for when she does fucked up shit is more of feeling betrayed, which on one level, yes, on another level, she whines too fucking much and needs to get the fuck over it. That's just my personal opinion. You know, she's pissed off that Supergirl lied to her about being Supergirl, but, like, you couldn't see it, so it's not... If you know a superhero and they don't tell you your secret identity and then you eventually find out, don't be a dick about it, all right? Suck the fuck up, Buttercup. You know now. And she doesn't even like Lex Luthor, so it's not even like she's like, I'll always be with... No, she doesn't even like her brother. Anyway, that's neither here nor there. So, Superman and Supergirl are, you know, talking out, and you know, you see the wind blowing, you know, because naturally there should be up in the sky, but that costs money, so we're gonna just give you the feeling. You see the S's, and he's saying how he feels helpless with everything going on, can't help his kid, can't help the Earth, and Supergirl is kind of saying, yeah, I know how you feel, because it's technically her show, so... All the people disappearing are the people she sees day to day, her characters that she saves on a regular basis. So this, which is the whole Earth, so, but show-wise, they have to put forth. There's going to be aspect of, about her, why her role and feelings and everything are what they are. And motivations of this episode, but I'm not going to get to that until we get to that, because, you know, gotta save it. So she's basically saying, she brings up hope and sacrifice, Krypton being hope. We all know S stands for hope, and she's kind of saying, you know, we have to fight. Our parents sacrificed for us. You did it for your son. We have to keep going. And she literally just said, we have to keep fighting. So, as long as one man fights. Actually, there's a technique in Kung Fu, Qisao. So we're going to arm stretch, one finger up, and I was told by my sifu that I believe the saying was that if just one Ming loyalist continues to fight, we will win, or something along those lines. So, we are here, and Oliver Queen is giving his daughter, Mia, her Green Arrow uniform. And she's apprehensive because he's going to die. So... She doesn't feel she can fill the shoes, but she knows, you know. And she doesn't think if he's not wearing it, anybody should. Which, no, it's not how these work. Somebody's always supposed to wear it. In one way, shape, or form. Just the right person. So funny, finally, Oliver and the Flash talking. The ones who started the first crossovers in the Flash Arrowverse. So, Barry's telling Oliver that in the crisis he's supposed to die, and Oliver's about to talk to the monitor, demanding to talk to the monitor, because he's like, yo, what the fuck? I sacrificed myself to save him. What the fuck you mean he's gonna die? And he's like, Anna, you, that was that. This is this.
So I don't remember. I think up to this point, it was never clear whether Oliver knew or not that it was an all-encompassing thing, or this was different, or the whole Barry disappearing. I think for myself, I thought that this was all part of it, and he knew, but it was, you know, something different. If any of that makes sense. And, you know, now here's the thing. The monitor, I just realized one thing the monitor is doing is basically the same, doing the same thing that, differently, but doing the same thing that Oliver did to Superman, explaining to him, like, yeah, this is bigger. I understand what you want. You want don't want your friend to die. You know, Superman doesn't want his son to die. This is bigger than you going to do that. You go to do that, it won't matter because everything's going to end regardless. So it's nice you want them alive, but no one's going to be alive if we don't take care of this bigger threat. So I like how they did that. So we're back, and Alex Danvers, Supergirl's sister, is come to Lena Luthor and is basically asking her help, and Lena Luthor's fucking whining. You know, just look on her face, it's one of the most annoying things, because it's just a constant, like, woe is me, the world is against me. And she's supposed to be really super smart, one of the smartest people on the show. Yet, as much as she can, she will continuously put aside her feelings because she knows rationally she needs to help to save the Earth. She's done this more than once. She cannot rationally realize that the reason she keeps being pissed off, like, suck it the fuck up. Your feelings and the overall scheme of what's at stake when you've been, air quotes, betrayed. Like, you're not in the right. You know, it's... she's a very hypocritical character. 'Cause she will continuously do stuff that she knows, and this is before, and regardless of Supergirl or her sister, those particular relationships, other relationships, where she does things specifically for the greater good, knowing that those that she cared about won't agree with it. So now we have Flash, Green Arrow, his daughter, Supergirl, Adam, Batwoman, Superman in the field. Superman and Supergirl are going to do something. Can't remember what. They can save the tower. And we cut to White Canary, which is Sarah Lance, Brainiac 5, and Lois Lane in a different Earth in the future to Kid Jonathan, where we're about to see. They're actually in the Arrow Cave, which is his hideout. This Oliver Queen is a remnant, a callback to another Oliver and another episode of Legends of Tomorrow. As well as, I think, the comics possibly in... this crisis or a different crisis, I'm not sure, but there is more than one reference to an Oliver missing an arm in just the TV shows from what I remember. And this Oliver is surprised to see Sarah Lance because in this universe she died and never came back. as far as he knows. Or this Oliver has Alzheimer's. Because he's older, so no one, you can't really tell, you know, what version it is, per se. It's just A. Oliver. Now, this, for the most part, is literally just fan service to kind of filler, because there was no real point to that. Send the baby somewhere, see this version of Oliver Queen, but story-wise, doesn't, there was just no real point to it other than just to space it out some. Which most of this is fan service, is kind of what it should be on some level. So now they're an army of these wraith shadow things outside the window, and then they go to commercial.
Hey, this is Pontus Seagod. I'm a streamer on Twitch and a big fan of Savage Voice. You probably know him as Anthony Savage or a few other names that he goes by. He's the runner of the Broke Blurred podcast. If you feel like it, you should pop on over to www.twitch.tv/PONTUSSEAGOD. That is Pontus Seagod, PONTUSSEAGOD. Be sure to check out my Twitch and my Twitter. My Twitter is that one streamer Pontus Seagod, and it would be much appreciated. You all have a wonderful day.
Okay, and they're back. So now they're fighting the shadow figures, and you know, it's a decent fight scene. It's Oliver, Mia, so we have the two archers. Batwoman finally, as we said before, comes back. She hands over one of her batarangs so he can update it. She takes it, upgrades it, does a pointless flip, which a lot of these, that's what, unfortunately, that's what, a lot of pointless flips in these shows, because, you know, she throws it and it comes back to her and upgrade happened. There you go. Slow-mo scene. Mia saves her dad. It's a good moment. She hands him his bow. And comes Superman, Supergirl, just when he realizes too many, along with the Flash. So they're trying to get people to safety, which I never quite figure out. Yeah, okay, so here's the thing. You're like, I hope John had enough ships. Because there are billions of people to get off the planet. Okay, well, that's why Brandy left his keys, so they bring Brandy a ship. But that doesn't answer the question. That's one extra ship versus, like, that doesn't answer the question. How is that? It's a big ship, but it's not that big of a ship for the rest of the people on the Earth. But that's neither here nor there. So Lena Luthor is trying to calculate the numbers, and Alex Danvers is showing off her smarts. And, you know, talking science, which I have a feeling, I couldn't tell you if it, any of it is based in any type of fact or not. Probably not. But make it sound relatively real. So they're back to parallel Earth, one arm, Oliver Queen, beaten, torn up, alone, kind of the Oliver if nothing ever went right. You know, everybody just died. He's the last one left. And Sarah Lance, her character would not be her character without his character. And one of the bigger breakout characters from the Arrowverse and the Arrow TV show, and a fan favorite. So this is kind of her thanking him, kind of having that moment with his character, because you have to, it makes sense for this character to say it versus the other character to say it. You're kind of trying to pack a lot of as much as they can, because this is the Arrow's last season, so there's certain things that I think they're trying to say or close up as far as relationships with characters that they will not be able to, or unfortunately they probably will more than once in the other series. And I think it was good for the main fact of adding a little bit of, I don't want to say emotion, but there's not, they have a genuine chemistry, the two actors, because they've worked together for so long. And this is kind of, you know, an ending of their professional relationship together. So it comes across on the screen. So they're being overrun, more Shadow Demons. Sky is turning more orange, which means things are about to, you know, die. Supergirl, Superman go up. They're trying to get the tower up and running. So, has solar panels. So, Supergirl and Superman are about to do just solar flare, you know, heat vision. Now, here's the thing. Technically, Supergirl is supposed to be more powerful than Superman. Because how it worked when she was sent, she was older than him, and because it took so long and extra time around the sun or a sun or whatever, she's technically potentially is more powerful than Superman. But just a little tidbit of information for you. So Lena Luthor is basically letting Supergirl's sister, Alex Danvers, know, I still don't trust you, bitch. I'm helping you because it's what's best for my survival for the most part, you know. And of course, Superman, he falls first, and Supergirl holds on, then she holds on as long as possible, and then she falls. Further proving my point that she potentially is stronger, which I'm glad they, it's a lot of people, neckbeards might be upset about it, but technically that's how it's supposed to be. So they're on the rooftop, and here comes more of, they're about to be overrun, and so now Supergirl, Superman, they're trying to evacuate people. One character has the shield of the Guardian, which was James Olsen, a.k.a. Jimmy Olsen. This one, he's black. I didn't like it at first, but it works. And because I didn't like the Guardian, actually made the Guardian kind of cool in my opinion, but it's neither here nor there. Anyway, gave it to Alex Danvers' girlfriend, which I don't know much about because I haven't been watching Supergirl that good. In comes the Monitor to say, all right, I know you want to say everybody, but it's time to go. And he starts taking people. Batgirl disappears. Adam disappears. Supergirl disappears. Superman disappears. Mia disappears, and Flash disappears, and Oliver's not stopping. He will not stop until everybody is off the planet. And he keeps going, and he shoots one of his arrows to the monitor, and it kind of, it's like electrical arrow or something. And he's trying to hold him off. One man, one arrow. And say what you will about how they did it or why they did it. This character started it all. In this particular moment in the crisis, which there are aspects that it gets taken away from, but this moment, he's out of arrows, and it's just him. Drops, which he should, I don't know why he dropped, he probably should have held on to it. Drops his bow, and he runs towards the wraiths. The world is basically ending, and wave goes, and it's all gone. He is dead. Spoiler, he's dead. But other spoilers, this will not be the first time he dies in the crossover, which is something. It makes sense in the story, but at the same time, okay, here's the thing. Being upset that Oliver has died multiple times. Now, they may have done this purposely or may have not done this purposely, but this character has died a lot already. Everybody thought he was dead. He was on the NU. Bring him back. Pretty sure he died. They thought he was dead where he fought against Ra's or Ra's al Ghul. They thought he was dead. He fell off a cliff. Pretty sure there's a few flashbacks when he was training on Lian Yu where he was thought to be dead or possibly died. He dies a lot. So, an argument could be made that they did it on purpose as an homage, and that's what I'll say to make excuses for them. So we're almost at the end of the episode. It's about, I don't do math well. it's 54, 22 is the total, and we're at 50, so it's about 4 more minutes. 4 minutes and 22 seconds. If you're watching this, I want you to check in the show notes below. I have a link to Humble Bundle. Humble Bundle is one of our affiliate sponsors. Go there. They have great stuff that you can get for such a great value, from comic books to video games for your PC. I believe they also have books and programs. It's just a bunch of stuff. A lot of the benefit of it is two benefits. One, a lot of it sets your own price. So you can get real good stuff at a real good value. And the second one is it goes to help a charity. The charity is something that I got to choose, which is Comics for Kids, which goes to help kids that are going through cancer, kind of, you know, gives them an escape. I love comics, as you are telling from me doing this review. So please go check them out. It's very... very important to me that if you support me, you support them. So even if you don't buy anything, just go support them. All right. So we're back, and Monitor brings Oliver's basically dead, battered, bloodied body. Onto the ship. And basically say, you know, how many people survived, and thanks to him, 1 billion people survived at least. So now we're gonna explain character just showed up, which is Nash. Nash is on the Flash. Character showed up this season. Nash, the actor who plays him, I can't think right now. You guys can curse me out if I don't think of it before the end of the episode, all the nerds that are watching. The character he has played first season of The Flash was Dr. Wells. Which really wasn't Wells, it was actually Eobard Thawne, who is the reverse Flash from the future. The Flash's archenemy, killed Wells, took his face. But then, the second season, a Wells from a different Earth came, befriended the Flash and the crew. And then each season they have a different Wells from a different Earth. This season, Nash is the Wells that come through. Nash let out the Anti-Monitor. Starting this whole thing, Nash has returned as a pariah. In the comic book, the pariah, same situation, pariah. Curse is that he is forced to see the end of worlds. For the same reason, I believe he wanted to look back and see the beginning of time, and in doing so, release the Anti-Monitor. And this is his penance. He appears on the scene now, and we're being introduced to this character. So, where there was Harbinger is Lila. He's pariah. Two big major parts, which the fact that they were able to get that in is good. Oliver's saying his last words, telling Barry, Barry Best. Now, this scene right here was the very last day that he shot with Grant Gustin. Because I remember seeing the Twitter pic of this scene with him lying on the gurney and everything. It might have been the last day of shooting altogether. But he's saying goodbye to his daughter, Mia. And he's saying how much he loves her. And the moment, it's a really heartfelt moment. Now, as much as I want to draw you in and make you go, oh no, by the time this is going out, he is dead. However, in this crossover, it's not going to be the first time that he dies. Partially because the monitor says it's not supposed to be like this. Two, in comic books, death doesn't necessarily always mean death. Usually the rule is if it doesn't happen on screen, it doesn't happen. So it happened on screen to let you know he's dead. The story's not over yet. Though he is dead. That actually does not change. He stays dead, technically. And that I'll have to explain to you more than likely on the next episode. Because we're at the end. So, I want to thank you guys for showing up and coming out and downloading this and listening. And part two will definitely be out soon, I promise you. So, for the Brooklyn Pod TV, I've been your host, Anthony K. Savage, a.k.a. Voice, a.k.a. Savage Voice. And just remember, do not tell yourselves that you can't do something. Ask yourselves, why can't you do it? Come back next time to the Brooklyn Pod TV.